Today I'm sharing a message called "The Dove Has Found a Resting Place." Today is Pentecost Sunday on the Christian calendar. In the Hebrew calendar, it's Shabbat, which means weeks or harvest. It's one of the three big feasts of Israel: Passover, Shabbat, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. It's 50 days, seven weeks after the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Passover is this feast called Shabbat or Pentecost. We'll be talking about it and then watching God move. Genesis chapter 8, the Bible says, this is Noah now that the Bible is referencing here. And Noah sent out from himself a dove. Everybody say a dove. Remember when Christ was baptized in the River Jordan, what happened? The heavens were rent open, and there came resting upon him, looking in the appearance as a dove, the Holy Spirit. The dove in the Bible is a portrait of the wonderful person and function of the Holy Spirit. He sent out a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found, this sad verse, no resting place for the sole of her foot. She returned into the ark to Noah, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and brought the dove back in. He waited yet another 7 days. So he waits 7 more days after that. And again, he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came back to him in the evening. And behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in the dove's mouth. And no one knew that the waters had receded from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days after that. He sent out the dove again, which did not return to him anymore. Father, anoint this message, anoint your word, anoint your servant, and anoint your people. In Jesus' name. The first point today is this. Because of the fall of man and the resulting sinful nature of all mankind, the Holy Spirit was unable to dwell, live, or abide inside of men. So the Bible says, in fact, in chapter 6 earlier in the story of Noah, God says, "My spirit shall not always strive with men." The Bible says, New Testament in Romans chapter 3, "There's none righteous, no, not one." When Adam fell, we all fell. And what happened, Adam did not physically die, but he spiritually died when he sinned because his spirit was disunited from God. So Adam's spirit, we inherited from Adam a unregenerated human spirit. So Christ, remember Christ said, "You must be born again." And they said, "What do you mean? Must I jump back in my mother's womb?" And Jesus was talking about your spirit. So God made you a triune being. You are a spirit. You have a soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and you live in a body. So your body is your earth suit. The real you, the eternal you, is your spirit and your redeemed soul. So God's spirit could not inhabit. If you read the Old Testament, you'll find frequently that the Holy Spirit came upon people, made Samson strong, came upon him, came upon the prophets and mantled them to prophesy. In the Old Testament, the Bible shows us how the Holy Spirit would come upon people, but could never fully indwell them. The unregenerate human spirit was incapable of hosting the indwelling presence of the wonderful Holy Spirit. So sadly, the dove came back into God, the Holy Spirit hovering around the earth, but could not find a permanent, eternal resting place in man. And so after 7 days, the first report was negative. Noah sent out the dove again, and the dove came back with an olive leaf in its mouth. And to me, that represents the cross, the wooden cross that our Savior died. The cross changed everything. The curse was broken. Sin was abolished. Satan was conquered. At the cross, our salvation was obtained. For you and I, the Bible says in Galatians 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us, in order that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles and that we might receive The promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Christ broke the curse, and you and I now have access to the wonderful Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't live in a golden box. He lives in the human soul. The moment you said yes to Jesus, the Holy Ghost moved in. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of salvation, the newness of God came into you. You're a new creation, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any person be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things made new. When God poured out his Spirit and when the church was born, a whole new species of human beings emerged. Those that were blood washed, those that had their sins forgiven, those that were made like him, given the gift of righteousness, those that were adopted into the family of God. That's what God's done for you. Amen. And the dove came back and said, there's hope because there's a cross. The Bible says that Christ triumphed over the enemy in the portrait of the cross. And man, that's nothing but good news. I had fun last week. I taught my granddaughter in California, Rose Moon Maiden. I taught her to say Taco Tuesday. So we went out, we flew over on Monday night and Tuesday night, we took the kids out and it was at a Mexican restaurant, my wife's favorite kind of food. And so I sat next to Rosie and I'm working on it for about half an hour. Taco Tuesday, say it. Taco Tuesday. So finally, by the end of the dinner, I got her shouting top of her lungs, Rosie, what day is it? Taco Tuesday. The whole restaurant looking at her. I'm going, I taught her that. So the fun thing was, Wednesday came, and I said, Rosie, what day is it? She said, Taco Tuesday. Thursday came, Rosie, what day is it? Taco Tuesday. Friday, Taco Tuesday. Saturday, Taco Tuesday. She didn't have a concept except every day's a Taco Tuesday when Poppy's around. Now, here's my point. When you're born again and Spirit-filled, every day's Pentecost Sunday. Every day's a Pentecost. What did Pastor preach about today? Taco Tuesday. Pentecost Sunday. Finally, we waited another 7 days. These sevens are significant because that's the meaning of Pentecost. Seven, seven, 7 weeks. He waits another 7 days after the olive leaf, sends out the dove again. And she doesn't come back because she found a home. God waited thousands of years for you. Oh, the Holy Spirit, yeah, the Holy God's, one of God's powers is he is omnipresent, which means everywhere in the universe simultaneously. But he doesn't dwell, live in, control, and empower except the human being that's come to him. Paul was teaching about the sanctity of marital sex. And he said, you can't sleep with everybody. You're supposed to sleep with your spouse. God made marriage for sex and sex for marriage. He's teaching about that in Corinthians because they were a bunch of pagans. They didn't know anything. And so he said, don't you know your body is the temple? I tell my wife all the time, honey, you're a temple. I've come to worship today. It's true. Okay. I'm stepping away. She might say, we're closed for repairs. Something like that. I just blew up my whole sermon. No, you're not. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that the Spirit of God, in the Old Testament, remember the Ark of the Covenant? God so frustrated, he came upon prophets, they prophesied. He came upon Samson. He was strong. He came up, but then he never could stay. And so he lived in this golden box called the Ark of the Covenant. And I'm so happy for God finally got out of the box. Except for religion, which keeps putting him back in the box. He got out of the box and into you. There is, when we think about things, when I really give into an imaginative thought process about that idea that the God of the universe lives in me, it's one of those shandai mandai. Here's what John said. Yes, there's Antichrist spirits. There was then, there are now. But greater is he who is in you, who's in me, the Holy Spirit, than he that's in the world. Romans 8:11 says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Holy Ghost of heaven, will also raise, quicken, strengthen your... Come on, teen challenge. Man, your lives, young men, are going to be changed forever. Because of Jesus, because of the great integrity and stewardship of Teen Challenge, but then because of the Holy Ghost of heaven. There is no yoke, no burden, no bondage, no oppression, no addiction. The Holy Ghost can't break off of you. He can break anything off of you. Acts chapter 1, Jesus... There is euphoria in the message of Christ, and from John 4, his last message, John 14, 15, 16, even to 70. He's so excited, even though he knows the cross is coming, where he suffered more than anyone can imagine, but he's looking beyond it to the Holy Spirit coming. And he keeps talking about another comforter. And he said, you shall receive power. Dunamis, supernatural faculty, miraculous power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the othermost parts of the earth. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says this, and when the day, the feast day of Shavuot, the day of Pentecost, had fully come, they were all together in one accord in one place, 120 believers. And suddenly there came a sound, Greek word echoes, a roar. Suddenly there was a roar from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. So a wind didn't come, but it sounded like a wind. And the sound filled the room where they were sitting. Verse 3 says, and divided tongues appeared over all of them. Symbolizing the baptism of fire. You shall be baptized, John the Baptist said, with the Holy Ghost and fire when he comes. And it said upon each of them, verse 4 says, and they began to speak with other tongues. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with unknown languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. So they learned the first manifestation that they exhibited physically was that the Holy Ghost took control of their tongue. Come on. James says the tongue's such a small member, but has such destructive potential. You know how spirit-filled you are by your vocabulary. Let no unhealthy communication, only that which is for edification, come out of your mouth, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit took they're speaking unknown languages. And so there's thousands of visitors because they've come for this feast from around the world, Jewish pilgrims, and they hear them speaking their languages, and they recognize these are uneducated Galileans. And they said, these guys must be drunk. And so Peter stands up in verse 16 and 17 and says, these men aren't drunk with wine. It's only 9 in the morning. Even if you're a drinker. No one starts that early. I hope no one starts this early. But Peter said, but this is that. Moses said, they were waiting. We've been waiting for something for 10 days. People would say, I feel something, Peter. Peter says, that's not it. I feel something. That's good, but that's not it. Something bigger is coming. But this is that spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass, says God, in the latter days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, black, white, red, brown, yellow, all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. God taking control of your mouth. Your young men see visions. I will conquer hopelessness and give people a prophetic vision for their life. Your old men will dream dreams. I'll help people overcome the sorrows at the end of their life. I'll give them, you're never too old for a new dream. So the Holy Spirit comes and Peter talks about it. In chapter 10, Peter's preaching again. Peter's up sunbathing in a house. He's talking to God. I'm sure he's praying. And he has a trance, a couple trances, supernatural, ecstatic visions. And in the visions, he sees, here comes Porky Pig. Here comes Larry the Lobster. And the Lord said, kill and eat. And Peter said, I'm kosher, no way. I've never eaten anything unclean. And God said to him in the vision, whatever I declare clean is not unclean. While he's thinking about it, the Lord said, go with the man. The door's about to ring. Downstairs, someone knocked on the door. They came from Cornelius' house, a Gentile centurion soldier, devout to God, but not a Jew. And so Peter goes with them. As God told him, an angel had visited Cornelius. He goes there. He's preaching to Gentiles. They weren't yet engrafted into the saving grace of Christ. Christ came as the Messiah of the Jewish people. God engrafted us Gentiles into the covenant of Abraham. Never forget to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. We have an obligation to pray and believe for the salvation of Jewish people. We owe them a debt for our faith. So Peter's preaching. He says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God, he's preaching. He's going for it, and he's preaching the whole Bible. And the Holy Spirit can't wait anymore. And the Bible says, while he was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on those that heard, and they began to speak with other tongues. Holy Spirit said, you're going too long, preacher. I was 12 years old in summer camp, Big Bear, California. My parents had just been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I didn't know it yet. We were Lutherans. And I was with the youth group, and the youth pastor was Ken Gullickson, the founder of the Vineyard Church movement. And he said, today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. He said one more sentence, and the Holy Spirit knocked me down, and I started praying in tongues. Now, please listen to me. I'd never heard anyone praying in tongues. I'd never heard of praying in tongues. Before he talked about it, the Holy Spirit visited me. You cannot talk me out of what the Holy Spirit has done in my life. Well, Pastor, I don't believe speaking in tongues is for today. What do you have to say? Too late for me. I'm a tongue talker. All the time, day and night. I build myself up. I intercede for you. I worship God in a vast vocabulary. The mysteries of God are mine in tongues. There's endless blessings to praying in tongues. Your preacher does it all the time. All the time. Chapter 19, Paul's found some believers. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said,
who's the Holy Spirit? And he laid his hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. Oh, my goodness. There's been warfare to diminish the value of praying in tongues. And a lot of it is religious originated theology. Well, some people might pray in tongues, but you don't. So the front row's ducking. I'm not throwing this at anybody. It's a 13. It could kill you. My shoe has a soul. It has a body. I forget what you call that. And it has here. Thank you. Has a tongue. It ain't a shoe without the tongue. Don't let anyone steal from you what God longs to give you. The Holy Spirit baptism is for every believer. The gifts of the Spirit are for every believer. Speaking in tongues is for every believer. Today I woke up and said, Holy Spirit, fill me with the mind of Christ. Revelation, understanding, and wisdom, Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. Fill me, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Fill me with the wonderful nature of Christ. Fill me with love and joy and peace and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, patience, self-control. The Holy Spirit will help you be more like Jesus. The love of God has been poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. He's a lover. If you ain't a lover, you need more Holy Ghost in your love heart. You need more Holy Ghost in here. The Holy Ghost is so powerful. He'll give you love for ordinary people. He'll give you love for your enemies. Come on, the culture is trying to make us hate each other. Old, young, black, white, rich, poor. Stop it. Love everybody. Let God sort them out. Love everybody. Forgive everybody. Fight the devil. Love people. Love people. I pray every day, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This week alone, I've prophesied over hundreds of people had meetings in California. Saw outrageous miracles. Right in front of 100,000 people. Why? The gifts of the Spirit are supernatural graces that the devil has no answer to. Fill me with prophecy. Fill me with diverse tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Fill me with working of miracles. Gifts of healing. Supernatural faith. Fill me with words of knowledge. Fill me with words of wisdom. Fill me with discerning of spirits. I want it all. I want it all. Since I've been a boy, a teenager, the Holy Spirit has made the difference in my life. I was driving home just last year during the pandemic. I taped like four videos here. I mean, I was filled. Oh, man. Because after you preach four times in a row, you're like, ah, where you at, devil? Come on. I preached all day. But, you know, it was video, but I still pray and prophesy just like people were there. And I'm driving up Central. I got some soft jazz music playing. The Holy Spirit likes it. That may not be true. I don't know. My soul likes. I'm praying in just gently in tongues. Driving up Central, stop at Dunlap, going north, and just like he was sitting next to me, the Holy Spirit said, "When the light turns green, don't go." How curious. Next to me is the van. I can't see cross traffic coming from west to east. The light turns green, and I'm a tiny bit nervous because the average male can handle 0.3 seconds of you not going at a green light. And so I'm sitting there, I start counting. 1 1,000, 2 1,000, 3 1,000. Hold on, buck there. 4 1,000. Between 4 and 5 seconds, a large utility truck carrying a trailer with 30, 40 foot wooden power poles ran the light about 50 miles an hour. I mean, screamed through the intersection. I would have been right in its path, except the Holy Ghost spoke to me. Can I tell you one more story? I'm 19 years old and in love with her. Her body is the temple. I'm sorry. Gosh. I might be sleeping on the couch. And I'm back at seminary for my sophomore year at Life Pacific College and University. While I'm there, I worked my way through college. I'm working that season at Coldwell Banker in downtown Los Angeles. And I would do my classes in the morning, get on the bus, go downtown. And I would always carry like $5 worth of, maybe $3 worth of quarters. And I'd call Mary from a pay phone booth. Now, young people, these were the ancient devices scattered all throughout cities, right in the middle of streets, right on sidewalks. Plexiglass, and inside of it was a phone that you paid to make phone calls. Imagine that. So I go in there, I call her. She's the secretary for my dad's church, which was at New Life Chapel, which was at 25th Street in Roosevelt. So I call her. I said, I love you. Roses are red, violets are blue. Every day I'm more in love with you. She would answer back, I love you too. I miss you. I miss you too. I miss you. I miss you. That's about it. So she says to me, right at the beginning of my phone call, excuse me, someone's come in the office. She puts me on hold. The moment she put me on hold, the Holy Spirit spoke to me in a phone booth in downtown Los Angeles and said, your fiance's life is in jeopardy. So I turned into Superman. I hit my knees, I dropped the phone, it's dangling there, it's still going. And I started praying at the top of my lungs in tongues because I didn't know what kind of problem. I didn't know if it was an earthquake, a fire, a robbery. He just said, your fiance's life is in jeopardy. I'm praying in my heavenly tongue. It seemed like forever, it was only maybe 6-7 minutes. I'm dropping in quarters.
Please insert a quarter.
What's going on? So she comes back on, whole thing, you know, 10 minutes or less. She's trembling, she's weeping. She says, you're not gonna believe what just happened. A man walked into the office holding a large butcher knife covered with blood, walked up to my desk, looked me in the eyes, and said, are you alone? Now, she was physically alone, but not spiritually. And God gave her the wisdom to say, I'm not alone. I have to say that because I want to make sure everyone knows she's not a liar, okay? Yeah.
Yes. Hello. Okay. You told me I could interrupt you. Hello. Anytime I could interrupt you. So when he says this story, it kind of makes me sound like a liar most of the time.
Are you alone? The Holy Ghost said to me to say, no, I'm not alone because the Holy Ghost is with me and the Holy Ghost gave me what to say.
Thank you.
Just had to clarify. Love you, honey. Pow,
love you.
Pow.
Love you. I feel like she just got even with me right in front of all of you. So she said, he stood there, hold the knife. He quickly just turned around and walked away. Stared at her for 8 minutes without saying a word. Now he had, I think, escaped the mental hospital, catty corner to our church, caused either death or mayhem in people's lives. I know for with certainty that she wouldn't be alive without the Lord speaking to her and praying through me. The Holy Spirit will keep your kids alive, your spouse alive. The Holy Spirit will do things for you you could never do for yourself. He'll cancel curses and rebuke demon powers. He'll unleash miracle restorations and healings. There's nothing he can't do except slow down that freaking clock. I'm sorry. Next Sunday, I'm just not going to look at a clock. Hey, just for a moment, would you ask the Holy Spirit, in your own way, your own words, if you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of praying in tongues, man, why not today? Why not today? But would you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you? Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me with your presence, your gifts, your fruit. Fill me with a new language. Come and take control. Take control of my life. One person filled with the Holy Spirit can change the world. One person empowered with the Holy Spirit can change a generation. That's all God needs. We're about to experience, we are in the beginning phases of the greatest spiritual awakening in the history of mankind. But make no mistake about it, it's a Holy Spirit initiated, controlled, and empowered revival. It's all the Holy Spirit. Thank you for listening today. Would you stand to your feet? Prayer team, join me down front, please.